Wow, good morning. Good to see you all this morning and time of worship together. I was thinking as we were worshiping together this morning that with so many people and faces that it'd be lovely to know a little bit about you individually, every one of you individually, before I shared God's word with you, because it would help me know the kinds of things that would help you in the sharing of God's word. But that's impossible. That's impossible. You know, it's lovely to have you. And I know that I know, and I'm confident that God knows. And I think that's where I have to rest in that. That God knows where you are at. God knows who you are. God knows you before you walked in. God knew you before you were born, the Bible tells us. And so we trust and believe in this, in a God who knows this. And so while I might not know you, as well as I could know you, and though I may not know your circumstances today, I know that there's a God that knows you, and you've come today for a reason. You've come today, I don't imagine you've come today. Most of you wouldn't have come because you were dragged here. Most of you came because you came for a reason. You came to learn something. You came to hear something. You came to understand something. And so I pray this morning your hearts are open to listen to God's word. You don't have to be intelligent in the sense that you don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to know the Bible inside out to be close to God and to know God. You need to have a heart and a mind that says, Lord, help me understand. God, help me understand something about you this morning. And if that's your mindset, that's your heart this morning, then I believe God is able to speak to you and reveal to you the kinds of things that you need to know. For instance, you might be someone here this morning that is in desperate need of encouragement. You know, there might be something in your experiences this week, this month, that you just think to yourself, boy, I just need something to encourage me. You know, can anything more happen that could bring me down? You know, and so you want this word of encouragement. Now, I don't know, looking at my notes, I don't know whether that is going to come, but I trust in a God who knows you. You know, or you might be someone this morning who has this deep need for forgiveness, you know, who really deep down, you know, you have messed it up and you just need to be forgiven. You need to be reassured that you've been forgiven. And I believe in a God who's able to do that this morning. I believe in a God who's able to forgive and to cleanse and to wash. And it doesn't take much. It just takes you believing and having faith in a God who loves us so much that he wants to forgive and give a new start, a new life to people because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I'm really happy you're here this morning, and I pray that that you're encouraged in the word of God this morning. Just like we're encouraged soon with the baptisms, people who are going to get baptized, declaring their faith openly because they understand, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to get baptized because they want to declare their faith openly and obey the Lord. And so that will be an encouragement to us as well when we get to witness that soon as well. We want to build our faith. We want to build our faith, and that's important. So let me pray for us this morning. Let's open up our hearts to God in prayer, and as we come to listen to God's word this morning and to receive the things that the Lord has to tell us, most importantly, that we are ready to receive what the Lord wants to share with us this morning. And if your heart this morning is in desperate need of encouragement or forgiveness, then come to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. And I believe God hears us. I believe God hears us. And if your heart is sincere and your prayer is genuine, there is absolutely no reason why God would not hear. That you are trusting him, God who knows your life from the beginning and knows your end from the beginning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are holy and you are merciful. And I thank you for this morning and everything that we have done, every song that we've sung, Lord, every prayer prayed. I thank you for your word that we're opening up to listen to to your word, the words of truth, the words of life, the words of hope, of mercy, the words of salvation. And so, Father, this morning I pray that whoever we are and whatever our background is, Lord, that we come believing and trusting in you and just desiring, Lord, to listen and to hear what you have to say. Father, make us real, make our faith genuine, Lord. that we walk with you, trusting you and believing what you have to say. So, Father, help me, help us as we hear your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the big things that I love doing as a church, one of the big things I love sharing as a church all the time, is that there is no church that I want to be part of than a church that's authentic and genuine, true? Now, there's no church I want to be part of more than a church that is really genuine and authentic in their faith. That would make me miserable to be part of a church that wasn't authentic, where people came and they just kind of lived their own life and did their own thing, and then just they came and played happy families on a Sunday and, you know, gave each other hugs and said Christian things to one another, and then they went and lived life differently during the week. That would make me most miserable. And so I love the idea of us being authentic. I love the idea of us being genuine, being real as to who we are. Even sometimes if we've got to be honest about what we're doing and who we are so that we can get help, so we can find freedom in Christ, that we can get help rather than hide things and cover things up, hoping one day we'll get better as long as nobody finds out. And so that kind of faith, that kind of living isn't where I think God has called us to. He's called us to a life that's way better than that. And so when we talk about this topic of surrender, and we talk about the idea of what does it mean to surrender to God, or what does it mean to live a life of surrender, it's something that's non-negotiable. It's not something that we think to ourselves, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good, sometimes I can, sometimes I won't, sometimes I will. It's something that really distinguishes the genuine with those who aren't. It's what we call, it's what we need, we are called to do, and that's a place of surrender. So I want to continue that theme this morning. It's the thing that we must do as Christians, because it's the thing that it comes out of a place of mercy. God has been merciful to us. And I've asked you this morning, how have you lived your life this week because of mercy? And how have you lived your life? How have we lived our lives this week because of mercy? What have we done this week intentionally and deliberately because of the mercy of God? Because God has shown us so much mercy, God has shown us so much mercy that we could have been judged, condemned, and killed and destroyed into eternity forever. God showed us mercy and brought us out, has rescued us from the miry pit, from the miry clay. How has our lives this week reflected that? How has our lives reflected mercy this week? Has it changed the way that we've approached people? Has it changed the way that we've spoken to people? Have we shown mercy to other people because of it? Have we been quick to forgive because of it? Have we been able to be in a place of helping someone else because of the mercy that God has shown us? Or have we, in our own hearts, forgotten about the mercy of God so much that we've turned a blind eye and we've been a little bit more judgmental or pointed the finger at people? Or maybe we thought to ourselves, it doesn't really matter as much because, you know, even if I relax a little bit in my faith and go off and do something I'm not supposed to be doing, God is merciful and I'll come back and God will be merciful to me. Is that how we've treated mercy this week? Because that's not how we treat mercy. I've been saying to you all along that when someone's rescued from something desperate and severe, their lives can never be the same. To be rescued from something means your life is changed. To be rescued and saved from something means your life can't be the same. It has to be different. It lives from a place of mercy and it becomes a place of surrender. And this is what we talk about. It's very simple. When we talk about surrender, I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about a relationship with God. I'm not talking about anything else but what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and then decide when you want to surrender. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and then decide that, oh, it's convenient today but not tomorrow. It's convenient in this circumstance and not in that circumstance. So when I'm trying to communicate to you over the last few weeks and the coming weeks, when I'm trying to communicate to you what it is, I'm really simply communicating to you that it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That it isn't something that we have a choice in and that we think to ourselves it's convenient now but it's not convenient at another time. It's the Lord. We, as the Bible says, might submit to one another because that's what we do as Christians. None of us think of ourselves better than the other person. I don't think of myself more proudly in a way that I think of myself better than you. You know, I don't think to myself, I don't need to submit to you because of who I am. No, the Bible encourages us all as Christians to submit ourselves one to another because we walk humbly before one another. But to surrender, we surrender to God. It's God that we surrender to. And everything becomes about him. And this is the way we live as Christians. It's like, it's bizarre. It's like me saying to you that today I'll decide to love my wife, but tomorrow I won't. It's bizarre. In this, I don't feel like loving her today, but tomorrow I might decide to do that. We don't do that. If I said that to you, you would say to me, that's really strange. How healthy is your relationship? And it's the same with the Lord. See, I surrender to him because that's who I, it's because it's out of my relationship and love for him. It's a life of surrender. It's a giving up of everything to him because he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so now, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And so what I've been hoping to communicate with you all is that this is what it means to be Christian. I'm not adding anything to being a Christian. I'm not trying to communicate something that is in addition. It's the supernatural Christian or the super Christian is the one who surrenders. It's just Christian. It's relationship. It's a love for God. It's walking faithfully with him. It's knowing that life will come with challenges and life will come with temptations and life will come with trials, but there's a life of surrender because this is who we are. So when you think about this, then this becomes all of the life of the Bible. It becomes what the Bible speaks to us about all the time, because to be rescued changes how we live. You can't be saved and live the same. It's not possible. It's who we are in Christ. Did Jesus surrender? Did Jesus live a life of surrender? Are we imitators of Jesus? Do we follow in his footsteps? You decide. The Bible tells us, don't turn to it. The Bible tells us in Philippians, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You decide. Did Jesus surrender? The Bible tells me here that he became like a man, he humbled himself, and then he decided that he was going to obey, and he was going to obey all the way to the cross. Did Jesus surrender? The Bible says in John 6, for I've come, Jesus said himself, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So you make that decision. Did he surrender? He said, I didn't come from heaven so I can go about doing my own thing. I came from heaven to do the will of the Father who sent me. This is the reason why I live. I live so that I do the will of the one who sent me. In Hebrews, it says, who in the days of his flesh, because he came as a human, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Will you tell me, did he surrender? The Bible says he came as a man. He felt the things that you and I feel. He understood the experiences of what it means to live humanly. And yet he decided through the things that he suffered, yet the Bible tells us through the things he suffered in life, he learned how to obey. That tells me that something in the life of Jesus, that even through every obstacle, every challenge, every trial, every pain, every suffering, he looked to the Father and said, Father, I'm surrendering. Because that's who he was. Lest we think to ourselves that he was somehow superhuman more than us. And so what I'm trying to communicate to you is that this is something not only that we are called to, but it was already reflected in the Son and now must be reflected in us. This is not being different. This is not adding on like some spice to the Christian life. This is the Christian life. Genuine, authentic Christians who are surrendered to the will of God. It doesn't get more simple, does it? It's hard. It's hard sometimes, but it's not hard to understand. And so we'll continue to look at these passages in the Bible, so I'm hoping what will happen is that we come to a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation that surrender is not just an idea we think about. It's not just a concept that we like to discuss together. It's more than that. It's a lived experience. When we talk about surrender to one another, we shouldn't be talking about some some mystical idea about what surrender looks like. When we talk to surrender to one another, we should be talking about it as a lived experience. What's it like for you to surrender? This is what it's like for me to surrender. How do you manage that? This is how I manage this. And so we talk about it as a lived experience. Oh man, I found it really hard here. Oh, I'll tell you what I did to help me. So we talk about it as a lived experience. I struggled with this so long. Hey, let me tell you what works. I believe in Christ and what he did for me. Let me share that with you. It's a lived experience of surrender. And this is what it becomes. So our conscience is clear because daily we live for him. The beauty of the phone. I think most people in this room would have a phone. The beauty of the phone. They're sometimes as troublesome as they are good. You know, in theory, I shouldn't worry about anybody in this room having my location services on their phone. Should I? I shouldn't worry about that. Should I care if you know where I am? I'm surrendered. Oh, hang on. I would care. You know how I would care? That if the religious minded has my locations and says, oh, look where he is today. I didn't think Barry would go there before they understand why I'm even there. Maybe it's for some work in mission. Maybe it's for something that I'm doing to support someone in pain. But it wouldn't bother me in theory. For you to have, because my life is surrendered. I don't care if you know where I am every day of the week, every hour of the day, every minute. I don't care. My life's surrendered. What about if I was to unlock my phone, here, bro, and said, go for it, check it. Go through my history, go through my text messages, go through my Safari searches. Would it bother me? Wouldn't bother me. Because my life's surrendered. Why would it bother me? Oh, look, what might bother me, maybe for the sake of others, their privacy and respect, that's probably maybe why I wouldn't do it sometimes, for people have sent me, because people tell me all kinds of things, for that reason maybe, but for the stuff that I'm doing, doesn't bother me. In fact, you can have it for the week and do all my calls and text messages. That'd be nice. I'll get off you next week, bro. But that wouldn't bother me. That wouldn't bother me. But how many of us, you know, would be like, where's my phone? Because our life is surrendered, isn't it? So what I'm trying to communicate to you is that this is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. And I thank God that we saw it in Jesus Christ. I thank God that we see it in other people. I thank God that we see it in God's word. And so what I wanted to share with you last week, what I wanted to start sharing with you is a little bit about what it's not, so that we get a bit of an understanding of then what it is. And so I've been talking about what it is and now a little bit about what it's not, and I want to share with you a couple of more thoughts about what it's not. And so last week I started by saying that it's not a bunch of church expectations. To be surrendered to God, it's not a whole list of a tick box thing that you have to do. You know, okay, so this person in the church does this and the church does that and the church expects this and the church expects that and Christians expect this and Christian expects that. So you've got this whole list of things. You've got this whole list of tick of boxes that you've got to tick, and then all of a sudden you're ticking all these boxes and you're saying to yourself, yes, I'm surrendered. It's not that. You can't do that. You can't make a list for a surrendered person. It's not possible to do that because it's going to look different for different people. It's going to sound different for different people. You're going to go places that I won't be able to go, and I'll go places that you can't go. You'll speak to people that won't want to speak to me, and I'll speak to people who don't want to speak to you. And that's okay, but it's not a list of things that we create for ourselves. It's a life that's surrendered. Listen, I'll give you an example. I know a man who regularly attends church and Bible studies, has a good reputation, can answer many Bible questions, loves listening to Christian radio and sermons, but that man's not surrendered. Make sense? But then I know a man who regularly attends church and Bible studies, has a good reputation, can answer many Bible questions, loves listening to Christian radio and sermons, and is surrendered. Because it's not about these things. Lest we become deceived. Lest we become, misunderstand and we find ourselves thinking something that's not the case. And that's why I tried sharing with you last week that we, as the Bible says, can have a form of godliness but deny its power. We can have an outward appearance of what is godly and holy, but we don't know really the power of God that overcomes the sin in our lives, that is able to live free in Him in all temptation and trial. We're surrendered. So it's not a bunch of church expectations, lest we find ourselves thinking that this is the secret. Just keep adding to my list. Just observe what everyone's doing, how they live their lives, where they go. We don't want to become like that. Let me tell you what else it's not. Surrender is not what we say, nor is it what we know. It's not what we say, nor is it what we know. You know, words are really powerful. They're so powerful, words, that they can give people an impression of you that's not really you. Because you can get away with, if you're really quick with your words, really smart with your words, really fluent with your words, really articulate with your words, you can say things that sound really spiritual. But being surrendered to the Lord isn't what we say. It can't be what we say. It's more than that. And it's not about what we know. You know, I find this day and age, it's really hard because when I say someone's spiritual, what does that even mean today? That person's spiritual, I don't even know if that actually even makes sense anymore to us. How do we define who's spiritual? I don't know. I can't even say a spiritual man means they're a surrendered man. But I can say that a surrendered man is a spiritual man. I can say that. Because we have such a mixed idea of what it means to be spiritual, and people can define it in all kinds of ways. But our words, it's not about what we say. And Jesus confirmed this. Because even though our words can give an impression of us and who we are, and we can say things that perhaps make us sound very Christian, Jesus confirms that that's not what it is. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Do you hear that? Wow, that's amazing. That's crazy. We all say that. We all call Him Lord. We all sing and say He's Lord. We all pray and say, "Lord Jesus." We all say Lord. How many people do you know say Lord, but their lives are totally different? We all say Lord. Lots of people, everyone in a Christian church will say Lord. But Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, that's who enters the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is saying it's way beyond our words. It's not about how well you can articulate and communicate the words and make yourself sound like Christian, even to the point that it's not about when you say to him, "I, your Lord," and you sing Lord or you pray Lord. It's not about that. But do you leave this place on a Sunday morning? Do you leave a Bible study? Do you get up in the morning after what you might have had a devotion to the Lord? And do you go off and you do the will of the Father? You actually listen to the point where you're obedient to His will. He says that person enters the kingdom of heaven. That person's faith is real. That person's heart is surrendered. That person doesn't live their life for themselves, but lives their life for the Lord of their life, who is Jesus. Him, and to Him they surrender, because it's a relationship. Remember, Jesus spoke about there are people who come close to me with their mouths or their lips. He says there are people who come close to me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. How do you even live like that? How do you live in such a contradiction? We don't want to be like that, do we? I don't want to be like that. I don't want a place where we come to God close with our mouths, but our hearts are far from Him. I'd rather come to God and have a place that both mouth and heart is close, and that we're surrendered and we're singing and crying out to the Lord because they're both in the same place. This is the authentic Christian genuine life. It's not the spice on top. And so Jesus spoke about this because he wanted us to know. He wanted us to understand. John, the apostle, when he wrote his letter, said the similar thing. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue." Do you hear that? I love you, brother. Oh, I love you, sis. Thanks so much. He says, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, because it's easy to do. It's easy to love those who love you," Jesus said. "But what about those who don't love you and mistreat you? What about those who aren't like you? What about those who don't like you? What about those who make life hard for you? What about those who trouble you, annoy you? What about those you just would rather not be in your life?" So John says, "Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth." Let your love be truthful and let it be active love. And that's a whole other conversation about what love looks like. So surrender life is not just what we say. Because there'll come a time, I think, in the Christian life, if your experience is anything like mine, there'll come a time in a Christian life where everything that you say is going to be challenged. You're going to face a situation where you're going to have to decide, am I going to love just in word here or in deed and truth? Or something will be exposed and something you said you never really did because you never planned to do it. And you're going to get confronted with it. And that's your opportunity to say, am I going to keep doing this or am I going to change? Because this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a surrendered, like this is the life of surrender. Nor is it about what we know. Nor is it about what we know. Because knowing things is easy. You can know the Bible really well. You can know it better than me. I don't mind. That's great if you know it better than me. You can know it. But that's not the surrendered life. And it's not a reason not to know it. It's just that to know it is not the surrendered life. James tells us to be doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Deceiving yourselves, he says. Because we can be great hearers and we can learn lots and we can quote much and we can answer much because we know much. But he says, "I want you to be a doer of the word." Which is the whole thing why Jesus was so hard on the religious leaders of the day. He was really hard with them and he was very compassionate to those who were broken. Because he was tired of their religiousness. He was tired of them knowing so much and doing so little with what they knew. And he was tired of it because he didn't just see it then. He'd been seeing it for thousands of years. And he came to correct that. So when his disciples followed him, listen carefully to this. When his disciples followed Jesus, they weren't joining, listen carefully, they weren't joining a church. They were deciding to follow the Lord. Make sense? That's got to be our first intention. That when we come to become Christians, we're not joining a church. We're deciding to follow the Lord. Yeah, church is part of that. But they decided to follow the Lord. They didn't know where he was going to take them. They didn't know what the next day was going to look like, the next year was going to look like, 10 years going to look like, 2,000 years later. They didn't know. They just decided that they were going to follow the Lord. What they knew is they had to do what Jesus asked them to do and either find their life to lose it or lose their life for his sake to find it. And that's what it was to follow. That's what it was to be surrendered. There's more, but for today, I want us to think on this. If my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is where it ought to be, and it's a relationship, then very, very naturally from that, I'll be in a place of surrender. I have to be in a place of surrender. Because the two can't be separated. Everything in the scripture reminds us of that. We have tried to separate it. We try very cleverly to sort of separate the two and still make it okay. But the scripture doesn't. The Bible doesn't. God doesn't. We're reminded always about it. And thank God we are. So if you're called to this relationship or you long for this relationship, then you also long to be in a place of surrender. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. Let's join together as we sing our final song, as we reflect on the words of Jesus, as we come not wanting to do our own will, but the will of him who sent us. Our conscience clear, our faith genuine, our lives in a constant wrestle and determination to be surrendered to the Lord. The days that it's really hard to do, the days that we feel we have no more strength in us to do it, the days that we think are easy to do it, we are come determined in faith. We say, Lord, help me to surrender. Because this is the call in our lives. This is what it means to be authentic and genuine. And even on the days that seems just impossible, we still press on believing and trusting that God is going to make it possible. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus and his incredible love for us. Thank you for the love that he shows us every day, the kindness and compassion that we find it just natural, Lord, to want to surrender to you. You are good and you are faithful. Strengthen us to do this. Strengthen us to be in a place where daily is our life of surrender to you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.